for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Sunday afternoon, ladies, 1:15 p.m. Deliverance and Teaching Meeting, December 28, 2009. Carla Batard is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on freedom from sexual torment.
And if it's not your problem that we talk about today, it's good for you to have the knowledge of this problem, because no doubt there will be a time that you'll run across somebody who will talk about this subject and you will have the knowledge that you need to help them. Exodus 20, verse 5. The Lord is talking about, well, let's just go up to 2. I am the Lord thy God who have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, I want you to understand that word hate me, that phrase, God said that he would visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So every one of us sitting here love the Lord, and we would say, oh, thank goodness, that counts me out, because I don't hate the Lord, and I've never really hated the Lord. Even when I didn't know the Lord, I didn't hate the Lord. So we feel like this doesn't apply to us. That word hate actually has to do with loyalty. So what he's really saying is he's going to visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those who have not been loyal to me. That puts a whole nother spin on that scripture. Because at one time or another, we have all been disloyal to God. Before we knew him, we were our own God. See, that's idolatry right there. Anytime we rebel against God's word, we are in idolatry. We choose to be our own God. If we're not going to obey God, then we choose to become our own God and obey our will. So do you see how idolatry is a lot more common than we would think? Now, the reason I wanted to read that scripture is because what I'm going to talk about has a lot to do with generationally inherited sins. I want to talk first about the incubus and the succubus spirits. Is there anybody here who have never heard of these? So we've all heard of the incubus and succubus. Okay. When I ask you a question, if you've never heard of it, if you'll raise your hand so that I can know really who hasn't. Okay. So are y'all the only two who haven't? Is there anybody else who has not heard of the incubus and succubus spirit? Now, closely related with the incubus and the succubus spirit is a spirit called the spirit of the bride of Satan. These two are closely related, and I'm going to explain to you how. Okay, there is another group of scriptures I want to read to you in John chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 11. Now, you know, some would say, yeah, but, you know, that in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. But after we are saved, you know, we are believers and we're not going to be in idolatry, and we've been saved, and so that doesn't really apply to us. But I want you to see in John chapter 11, verse 43. Now, this is the story of Lazarus. We know that Lazarus died. Jesus went and rose Lazarus from the dead, right? And the sister is saying, yeah, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He is going to stink. Well, that didn't matter. Jesus raised him from the dead. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And in verse 44, it says, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a cloth. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go." So we see that even though Lazarus was raised from the dead, he wasn't really free to live his life until they loosed those grave clothes from him that said that he was bound. Well, I like to use these scriptures when I'm talking to people about being born again and the fact that Christians can't have demons. Many people believe that a Christian cannot have a demon. Two different spirits cannot. They'll say you can't have the Holy Spirit. The devil and the Holy Spirit will not reside in the same place. But we're not talking about, this is the hardest thing to make them understand, is that when you are born again, your spirit is totally dealt with, made pure, holy, everything. But you're walking around in a flesh body. And the flesh is where these evil spirits do their deeds. And so I explained to them that we start out like Lazarus. We're alive physically, but before we're born again, we're really dead. We actually stink in the nostrils of God, though He loves us. But, you know, sin is nasty. It smells. And so when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ and we are born again, then our spirit is made regenerate. Life comes into our spirit. But we come into this new life. We come out of our dead place. But we are bound with things that came with us from that dead place. I mean, you've known people who got saved. Like some people who, say, smoke or drink or go to bars or have sex outside of marriage or sleep around even though they're married, do adultery, any whatever sin you were born again with, you may find that it's not automatically gone when you get saved. And that is because those spirits are in your flesh. When you get born again, then you start having this battle going on between the spirit and the flesh. Paul had the same problem. So we're all in good company, and there's hope. But when we come into that new life, we're dragging all these grave clothes behind us. And that really is what deliverance is. Deliverance is to the body, to the flesh, what salvation is to the spirit. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to root out these hidden things that are in our flesh and could have been there for generations and we just didn't know it, but they cause us problems. And so I wanted to read that because to me it is like the explanation of what we read in the Ten Commandments. We get born again, but we have grave clothes. It's things that have come down generationally that we didn't have anything to do with. And yet, we're wearing the baggage of it. I used to think that that really wasn't fair. I used to understand it like this. God, you mean I'm going to have to be punished for what my forefathers did? Well, it's not quite that. When it says visit the iniquities, it means that those same sins that were in your forefathers are in you. Not just that we're going to, you know, suffer because of what they did, but what they did is actually in us because we came from the seed. You know, I say you don't have a pecan tree and a pecan falls in the ground and gives root to an apple tree. It just doesn't happen. The pecan tree gives root to and makes a pecan tree. So whatever was in the seed of our forefathers, that's the fruit that comes on our tree. And that's why I love Deliverance. Okay, so these books are by Frank Marzullo. He's dead now, but he has a son in Florida who is carrying on his ministry and who is also anointed as his dad. But these little books were eye-openers to me, and it helps explain a lot of things. Because, for one thing, it gave me understanding of my own self. Because when I was a little girl, I've said before when I taught this that you know, you talk about people. What is your first memory that you can remember when you were a little girl? You know, and different people will have different memories. But when that question was posed and I thought about it, my earliest memory was kind of a shameful one. I mean, I didn't even like thinking about it, but it was masturbation. I remember, even as a very young girl, like 4 or 5 years old, this was already manifesting in my life. Now, where did that come from? I knew that I had not ever been molested or anything like that, but here were these manifestations coming on. So as I have learned about these different spirits, it has given me almost a peace about it, because I never knew why it was there. You know, it made me feel dirty. It made me feel nasty. It made me feel evil. And, of course, the devil was right there saying, "You are, you are, yes, you are, you are. You're dirty. You do despicable things," you know. And so it was a source of torment. And so I used to think, well, wow, when I get married, then it'll go away, because then I'll have a husband to take care of those needs. But surprisingly, when I got married, those things did not leave. It would still, and as I understand demons now, so when I got married, this was still present. And that was confusing to me, because I thought, now, I thought this was going to go away when I got married. Well, it didn't. So when I learned about how these spirits are, I know now that we all come in a package. You give birth to a baby, sweet, cute little thing, brand new face, kind of looks like this person and that person, but it's this very own brand new person. And sadly, that little person is a package of demons. And, you know, not all, I'm not saying that babies are evil, but there are these spirits that came through the seed and are waiting for an opportunity to manifest. This is why, you know, Mr. Humbarber is talking about praying for babies before they're born to receive the Holy Ghost. Well, I wish I'd have known that when I was pregnant. I wish I had known that I could cast demons out when they were in the womb. If I had known then what I know now, perhaps the outcome of my children's lives, which they are 29, 28, and 26, and all three of them are in their own journey, their spiritual journey. And my oldest one joined, he was my righteous child too. Now, of my three children, the oldest was he was my righteous child. Never had a minute's trouble with him. Very obedient. Loved the Lord. And then whenever we started having trouble in the family, I had my second child went into rebellion when he was 16. And it caused havoc in our home. I mean, really, hell came to our house. And as a result of that, it disturbed my righteous child, and so he spent a lot of time at one of his friend's house, and they happened to be Mormons. And that was a perfect opportunity for them to prove to him that the Mormons had a better family values, and those kind of things don't happen, you know, our family. It just gave him an entrance. And so when he was a freshman in college, he joined the Mormon Church on Mother's Day, 1999. Well, that was devastating to me, because by then, the boy that went into rebellion was in prison. And as a result of all this going on, my daughter was devastated as well, and she turned to drugs to anesthetize her pain. Where was I all this time, this great woman of faith? I was shaken to the core of my faith. My circumstances went to a place deeper than my faith reached. And for about a year, I was totally out of it. I was angry, you know. I just could not understand if I had trained up my children in the way they should go. And I mean, we lived the Word. We lived it. We read it every day. We prayed together. We experienced miracle after miracle. I mean, my children knew the power of God. So what is this? And then it was like, all right, what else am I believing that's not true? You know, it really took me to a bad place. So I was kind of on my own journey while my children were all on their journeys. And my husband was in a daze. I mean, he had to go to work. So he did what he was supposed to do. And we weren't on very good terms at that time. I mean, the devil's tried to destroy our marriage several times during our 34-year marriage. But he hasn't done it, and it's getting better every year. So here we have these three children, and I'm talking about how demons are lying dormant, just waiting for an opportunity. So we also had Masonic Masons. My grandpa was a Satan. A Masonic, and he was pretty high up. And now that I know about these spirits, that I understand that that's how my son was able to be swept away into the Mormon church to begin with, because there's deception and there's error all mixed up in that. So see, if I had known then what I know now when I was pregnant, I would have broken those generational curses off of me while he was in the womb. And when he came out, that would have been broken off of him. But let me tell you something else I learned. Satan doesn't care. This is how deceptive he is. He came to one son and daughter with rebellion, drugs, theft, all these things. But he came to the righteous one with self-righteousness. He doesn't care how he gets you, as long as he gets you. And so that was a real eye-opener to me, that he will use good things, not that the Mormon church was a good thing, but sometimes if he can drag you away from the real thing that God wants you to be focused on, he'll use all kinds of other good things to busy you with, to distract you, so that you never get around to doing the thing that he really is calling you to do. So I learned a lot about Satan's tactics in these times. And so my son is still in the Mormon church. But God told me one day, and I am standing on this word, that all three of my children are in training for the ministry. And I laughed, like Elizabeth and like Sarah. But I got to thinking about it, and I thought, Lord, I received that. I believe that. And I know that at the appointed time, they are all going to be serving God mightily, because they'll have more. They're further along, even though they're, you know, in the wrong place. They're further along than I was spiritually at that age. They have a lot of knowledge, and when it comes time, they will come and serve the Lord, and they'll be ready to pick up their sword, and they're going to be fierce. And I am really looking for that day. So anyway, got married, and here was this generationally inherited spirit of lust, of fornication, which, you know, it led to fornication eventually. Before we got married, we were having sex together, which was totally wrong, and I knew it. I had no control. I mean, I say you have no control. As much as I wanted to not, yet I did. It's like when you were in that moment, and this is what I was talking about, demons. They're there, and they're waiting for the moment to manifest. I understand serial killers now. I understand why they say, I did not do that. I did not do that. I have no recollection of that. And they'll be asked point blank questions. I mean, they've got the fingerprints, they've got the DNA, they've got everything. I was not there. And I use chocolate bars, my thing, as an understanding of that, because it's like, okay, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to eat it. Go about my day, come back later, and there's the package and the wrapper. And I'm thinking, I don't remember eating that. But see, that's the way it is. It's there, and it at some point rises up and demands to be satisfied. Demands. And if you don't know how to deal with that, it has its way. And it would have its way. And it tormented me. I hated it. And of course, you can't talk to anybody about that. I mean, who do you go to? Who are you going to tell these things? I wouldn't even tell my husband. You know, he would be the last one I would tell. I mean, what is that going to make him feel like? What's the matter with me? I mean, am I not good enough? Am I not, you know, doing my husbandly thing? Am I not satisfying you? Yes, 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 but I don't know why I do it. And so you keep it to yourself. And that's what Satan wants you to do. That's why it's hard to talk about, but it's kind of like if Satan wants you to keep things secret and make you feel shameful so that you keep it secret, because he knows if you let it out of the bag, he's going to lose, especially if they know what to do with it. If someone knows what to do with it, they can help you. Otherwise, it's just a secret. And it torments you, and it has its way with you. And so, every once in a while, I like to give this talk. I know the men get down to the nitty-gritty. My husband, first time he came to one of these meetings, and he sat, and Dr. Null was too. Mike said, just right, you know, he gets up, how many of you have ever, whatever, you know, and Mike was like, how can I get out of here without anybody seeing me? And of course, you know, probably every one of those guys. But you know, the women, we don't really get that opportunity very often. And I think only once or twice that I've talked about this in the 6 years that I've been coming and teaching. This is only like the third time that I've brought this up. But it's needful, because Satan is really tormenting a lot of women with these issues. And so this went on for quite a while after I was married, until you know, I came into deliverance. And really, before I ever even knew about Lake Hamilton, there was this deliverance conference that was going to take place somewhere, and I really wanted to go, but I didn't have the money to go. And I found out somebody else went, bought all the tapes, brought them to me, and I heard this tape, and the woman was talking about a water spirit. And as she talked about this, of course, she was talking about it like with teenage boys. And this water spirit is very active with teenage boys. This is why your son spends so much time in the shower, because this water spirit is seductive, and it, you know, will cause your young men to masturbate in the shower. Well, while she was talking about it, I thought, now, there reached a point when I was more free with my husband, you know, we talked about many things, that I did divulge that to him, because I guess it's like lancing a boil. You know, it's like if you get that thing that makes you feel so guilty and so dirty and everything, if you can confess it to somebody and not be condemned for it, then that is an element of relief. But it wasn't the fix. And so, you know, as I was telling him, I said, you know, it is just the weirdest thing. I'll be in the shower, and, you know, the hot water is rolling over me, and I'm not kidding you. It's almost to the point where I'm looking around because it's like somebody's in the shower with me. There is a seduction going on. It feels like the water is seducing my body, and it arouses me, you know. I said, it is weird. Well, she's talking about this on that tape. And so then she prayed a prayer at the end, and I got delivered from Loa. And so for, I guess, it's been probably as soon, as frequent as 10 years ago that was still going on in my life. So it is a wonderful freedom to finally, you know, get free of that thing. Well, then after learning about that, other girls, and of course, when I did start learning about deliverance, Frank Marzullo's brother, Ernie, is my uncle. He's married to my dad's sister. And he came down to visit. Of course, he lived in Connecticut, so we didn't live close enough to really spend a lot of time together. But I had an experience with a girl that I was praying with before I knew anything, really. And she was, I don't know, I was praying for her, and all of a sudden she was on the floor like a dead woman. And it kind of scared me. So I hurried up and got her home and called my uncle and told him what happened. And he said, well, baby, she got delivered. I said, of what? He said, well, something. I don't know what, but I'm going to send you some information. So all of those little booklets over there by Frank Marzullo I got in a box. And I sat down and started reading these things, and I was just amazed. I mean, it was just like so interesting and revealing. And it's like, now it makes sense. Now I understand. And that's what I love about deliverance, because it brings understanding into so many areas that you just have wondered about all these years. Okay, so how did they get there? Well, mine were inherited. Now, on my dad's side, there was alcoholism, there was whoredom, there was prostitution, fornication, adultery. On my mother's side, my mother's mother was abandoned at birth, so we don't know what was on her bloodline. But normally, when a pregnancy is given up, it's usually circumstances that are not honorable. And so we just always just assume that she must have been, you know, promiscuous. Okay, so there are some other ways that these things can come in. Now, okay, I'm going to go back because y'all haven't heard of the incubus and succubus. Okay, the incubus spirit is a spirit that takes on the form of a man. It's a spirit, and it has sex with women in their sleep. I mean, I think this is, and the succubus takes on the form of a woman and has sex with a man. This is, I believe, one of the reasons that men, young and old alike, have wet dreams, because there's a seduction taking place to the point of completion. And it does the same thing with women. Women will actually have physical evidence that they have had sex. And so I saw a 2020 or a Prime Time or one of these news shows not long ago. There was a panel, a table of about 12 women sitting around with one of the guys that was interviewing these women. And they all had incubus. They were having problems with incubus, and probably succubus too, because a succubus spirit is more into like oral sex and things like that. So an incubus mostly is with women, but it could also happen with men too. They may have a sensation of being anally violated because of the incubus spirit. And the way I remember the difference between these two is because an incubus is I-N, so it has to go in, so that's the male part, right? And the succubus is something that takes place outside the body. And it, like when you hear the word suck, you think about like a baby sucking on a bottle, so it involves the mouth. And so that's how I keep the male and the female separate and understand which one is which, instead of always being okay, which one is which? Which is succubus, which is incubus? Well, anyway, one or the other. But that's the way I keep it straight. And so the succubus will stimulate mostly with sensations of feeling like, the mouth is involved. And this can be a problem if you keep it secret, because it is what lesbians do. That's how lesbians have sex, is with their mouth and their hands. And so that is could be a cause of lesbianism. It's a perverse spirit. It's an unclean spirit. I mean, unclean spirits are with it, and it's a perverse spirit, because anything that is outside the normal activity that God created it to be is perverse. It's perverted. And so another way that these things can happen is like children who have been sexually molested. These spirits can enter through sexual molestation or rape or incest. These are all sexual spirits that can come in with those activities. In his book, he describes one girl who was having a problem with incubus. And let's see, she had been involved in witchcraft, satanic circles and witchcraft ceremonies that they do sometimes will invite these spirits in. And sometimes even things that have happened to children that are so awful that they've blocked them out. You know, it's too painful to think about. And that really is almost like a gift that God gives, that they can, almost slide over into another place so that whatever is happening to them, they don't really remember it. It's a form of escape. And so a lot of people who have these things, something like that could have happened to them. Now, I don't like to watch a lot of TV, but recently I heard, there was a girl that used to be on some little sitcom years ago, and she just came out and was talking about a sexual relationship that she was having with her dad, who was a famous rock singer or somebody. But after that came out, Rosie O'Donnell started talking about, something that must have happened like that to her because of these activities that were in her, and it made me think of myself. Yeah, you think because you were a little girl and these things are taking place with you that somebody did something to you. Not necessarily. Before I understood this, I would have said definitely. You know, how would a child even know to do things like that if it hadn't been done to them? Or if they hadn't witnessed it, how would they ever think to do such a thing? But now I know that there's a demon there. And when that opportunity comes up, and that it's happening a lot with little children, and I'll tell you, as time goes on, it's going to be happening more and more and more. So you may have an opportunity to share this information with somebody. But these women at this table, they all had a problem with incubus. And I told Mike, I said, I just would love to email this interviewer and say, hey, I can tell you what's wrong with these women and get the information to them. And if they have any kind of spiritual life, they can go get help for that. Or they can go get help for it, even if they're not. Jesus, he cast out demons. When they showed up, he just said, come out of her. God is interested in cleaning us up. And many times it was after they got free that they wanted to follow Jesus. You talk about a good salvation tool is deliverance. Now they, especially if it's something that was generationally inherited. Now if their active in it and they like it. And sometimes these women do. They can come in by, like, let's say a woman is widowed and she misses her husband. And you have to be real careful what you say, because people talk to their dead. You know, they'll just walk around the house and they'll think about them and they'll just say something to their lost loved one. But this one particular woman that he writes about really missed her husband. Oh, I just long for him. I just long for him, she would tell people. I just long for him. I wish he could come to me. Well, one night, he comes to her. It's a spirit, but he comes to her and begins to talk to her. It's his voice. These are familiar. This is called a familiar spirit. They take on a familiarity of someone that you know. I know another girl whose grandmother used to come to her. She lived across the street from me. I didn't know anything about demons, but I knew it wasn't good. She said, "My grandmother comes to me." I said, "Your grandmother? I thought she was dead." She is dead, but she comes and stands beside my bed. She used to snuff. She used to put snuff in her mouth or nose or something. She said, "I can smell her snuff. That's what wakes me up. I smell her, and I wake up, and we talk." And I'm thinking, I just knew it wasn't good. I didn't know about this at that time, but it really is real. You know, people think, "Oh, that's, I don't believe in that." Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is what I tell my son when we have our little discussions on Mormonism, or, you know, he even has a problem with when I talk about demons. And it's like, "Mom, you know," I said, "Well, Wade, let me tell you this, son. Whether you believe it or not does not change the truth. If you don't believe the truth, that doesn't make it untrue." So, anyway, all of these women, some of them, you know how they blur the face when they don't want you to, when they don't want to be identified? Well, some of the women didn't mind talking about it and having their face shown, but some of them had their faces blurred. And there were a couple on there that, I mean, just were on the brink of suicide and insanity because of this torment that would come to them at night. And these women, some of them were having like continual orgasms, just continual, like somebody was just stimulating them 24 hours a day. Can you imagine how that would just drive you crazy? But of course, they go to the doctors and the doctors don't know what to do. They probably think these women are crazy and give them medication, you know, medicate them, and that doesn't help. You can't medicate. You can lock them up in jail, I know that. If they've got demons, if there's a murderer and with a spirit of murder in them and they're murdering people and you put them in jail, they can't murder anymore. And the spirit's locked up with them. The problem is, the only reason it's not happening is because they can't get out and manifest. They can't demand to be satisfied. So when they get out, that rears its head and they go out and satisfy the demon. I feel sorry for people that don't understand what it is that is ruling them. Okay. There was a case of a young girl who could not have sex. She got married and came to his meeting, and they could never have intercourse because the demon saw to it that the husband could not enter in. He would block it like a physical thing that would happen in her body that would not let the man, her husband could not have sex with her. And so she came to the meeting and she told him about it. And, you know, he said, "Well, I'm going to have prayer for, you know, these incubus, succubus spirits." And I looked up and there's 40 people standing in line, men and women alike. You know, so you just never know how many people are being affected by these things. Well, what he did was pray for her. He bound the spirit, cast it out, and then he spoke to her body and commanded her female organ to come into a normal state like God created it to be, and that it would receive her husband. And she came back, like, the, you know, it was a series of meetings, and she came back and she said it worked. She said while he was praying, she could feel that part of her body being reconstructed. It was just a miracle. And she said it's the first night she's had a sound night's sleep, because that demon was coming and having his way with her. And you know, the poor husband, it had gotten so bad that the demon was pushing him out of the bed so he could have her all to himself. And that's the way he wants it. And this is real. These things are real. Another way these things can come in is through fantasy. A lot of women who are lonely, who are single, for whatever reason, will read these love books, and, you know, that they're very explicit. And the reading of it gets them aroused to the point that they will satisfy themselves. And that demon comes in and takes up household and becomes her lover. It can come in through fantasy. You know, that's one of, I think, the most damaging things that have come into being through the computer is pornography. You know, years ago, you would have to go down to the seediest parts of town to buy those kind of books. And now it is in every home in America. The availability is there. And I'll tell you, they have learned ways to make those things pop up on any computer at any given time. You don't even have to have visited a site. They're projecting. It's a really good explanation of how the devil works. He will project the thought. And then it's what you do with the thought. But through the computer, they project an image. And men are very visually affected. Well, let's just see what that is. Click. And it's like it can enter in through the computer. That spirit just comes right out and into the man. And I tell you, they say that men who are addicted to pornography, that it is worse than cocaine. Worse. Can you imagine? And it comes in and it robs, it becomes the man's lover to the point that he's not even interested in his wife anymore. It has really wrecked many, many marriages. But it can also come in that way. There is one woman who was single and she was a dancer. And she would get up every morning to pray and dance before the Lord. But she would do this in the nude because she was in the house by herself. And one day she heard a voice. She said she was dancing before the Lord. And one day she heard this voice that said, "Now pass your hands over your body. I made your body. It's very beautiful." Well, she thought it was Jesus. So it can even draw you into a false Jesus because you hear a lying spirit, and then because of the arousal and the sexual satisfaction of that, the spirit came in and took over. Satan will want women and men, but we'll let them deal with the men. Satan will want you to feel very ashamed and embarrassed about any activities like this in your life, so that he can keep you isolated. That way he can continue to have his way. Now, the spirit of the bride of Satan can come in with all the things that I just mentioned. Because what happens is you, through molestation or rape or incest, or masturbation, or fornication, pornography, all of these things, whenever we practice something and it becomes a lifestyle, which once you do these things, it's like I told my son, my middle son, who was the rebel, I said, the first time you got drunk, I know because of who he is and Jesus in him, that he felt bad about it. He knew he had done wrong. I know he asked God to forgive him, and God forgave him. And then the next time his buddies got drunk and he got drunk again, he felt guilty and he asked God to forgive him. And just like I always did, you know, after each time I would just feel so awful. And I would ask God to forgive me, and I would tell him, I'm never going to do that again. Lord, I'm never doing that again. But then it always happened again until you feel defeated in it. But the third time he got drunk, the fourth time he got drunk, I said, you know, after that, each time you do it, that spirit gets stronger and stronger. And then that spirit moves in and takes up household. And then you feel guilty about it, and you feel like a failure, so you just stop asking God to forgive you because you know it's probably going to happen again. And that's how the progression of it goes on and on. So when any time you sin, like I said a while ago, this is especially after you're saved, because the Spirit of God now resides in you. You are the temple of His Holy Spirit. And then so when you sin and you keep sinning and you keep sinning, it, as we saw in the Ten Commandments, it's idolatry. It becomes idolatry because we are mentioned in the Word as the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become His bride. You're married to Him. And so whenever you get away from Him and be involved in these things, Satan claims you as his bride. That's why it's called the bride of Satan, the spirit of the bride of Satan. It's a spirit. You're mine now. He claims you. And then he feels like he owns you. That's why he feels like he can come and continue to come and continue to come. So that's part of, not only will we deal with masturbation, with rape, with incest, with all of these things, but we will also deal with the spirit of the bride of Satan in case he has come and put his mark on you. I give a written spiritual a spiritual writ of divorcement. Because we have to let him know, no more. No more. And we give you a spiritual writ of divorcement forever. So, another way that the spirit of the bride of Satan can come in is through yoga. Yoga is another way because it is a form of worship. Yoga is a form of worship. And yet we have yoga classes going on in churches. See, we've brought, it's just like in the Old Testament when they brought detestable things into the temple. There's a mixture in the church. And they'll have these classes in church and they're gonna Christianize it. Well, you don't Christianize a demon. I hate to tell you. Even yoga, you know, oh, but we're not into all of that. I said, let me tell you, every posture that you take is a posture of worship to that thing. And it's called Kundalini. Now, I don't hear, probably because many of us don't have quite the understanding of the names that are attached to these things, but Dr. Null knew quite a few of them. You know, he was in Shakti and all these things, and you know, it's like what? But Kundalini, that is one of them, and it does a couple of those. I think that is with Shakti. Let me just read this because I want you to know how involved this is. He says, as we've just seen, very few Christians have been aware of the spirit of the bride of Satan, but unfortunately, most Christians are also unaware of another major spirit in Satan's kingdom. That's Kundalini. Swami Vishnudevananda, And that's somebody who wrote a book, or he's the one who started yoga. A foremost exponent of yoga and author of the complete illustrated book of yoga declares the supreme power of nature is a coiled serpent lying at the base of the spine. The Swami, that's who's ever leading the yoga, teaches that she is the goddess Shakti, whom Hindus believe is the giver of immortality and eternal happiness. So you see, when you get involved with yoga, you're actually you're looking to another god. It's supposed to be the giver of immortality. Who's the giver of immortality? Jesus. So you're really involving yourself in another worship of another god. And that is spiritual adultery. It's spiritual adultery, and God does not take that lightly. And the Word says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why I want y'all to have this knowledge, so you're not deceived and destroyed by these things. The giver of immortality and eternal happiness. But Shakti can only fulfill her promise by achieving union with Shiva, her consort. Shiva is one member of the Hindu Trinitarian Godhead, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Those are the Hindu gods. The Swami explains that Shiva, Swami, explains that Shiva resides at the center of the forehead between the eyebrows. This is also known as the third eye, right there. You've seen pictures of satanic looking things, and there's always that third eye right there. It's, they can see things with that third eye. According to the Swami, the purpose of yoga is to arouse the serpent powers of Shakti, sometimes called Kundalini, so that she rises through the Sushumna, a hollow canal said to be running through the spinal cord. On the ascension, Shakti passes through six chakras, or spiritual energy centers. The seventh chakra, her destination, is Shiva. Once Shakti merges with Shiva, union, or yoga, is achieved. You know, this, oh, it's about, and you know what, you commercials on TV, almost every single one of them, you know, they're all doing these yoga things. And it's, that's what it's all wrapped up in, that stuff. It's going to bring you into the center and your peace and your, you know, and what you're doing is really inviting gods into your body. The Swami says the next goal is permanent union in order to become a liberated soul and to be unlimited by time and space, and they call it being at one with God. You know, they want you to just clear your mind of everything, and the demons just come in. Gives them an open door. I heard a lady, or read a book one time, and this lady said that a Hindu had moved into her apartment building, and she was a good Baptist lady, and she wanted to witness to this Hindu. So she brought a plate of cookies up and wanted to share her testimony with this Hindu lady. And the Hindu lady said, I'll listen to you if you'll listen to me. And she said, okay. So she gave her testimony, and then the Hindu lady started talking to her, and she was trying to keep an open mind. She said, my mind was so open, my brain fell out. And she got involved in Hinduism, and she ended up in an insane asylum for 8 years. I think we had, I don't know if I got the book here or somebody gave it to me, but it was a journey of 8 years back to sanity after all of that happened. So, you know, you don't need to learn about other religions in order to know what your faith is. And no, don't listen. Don't have an open mind so much that your brain falls out. The person who accomplishes this goal then possesses all power, psychic abilities, and sinless perfection. Many have been convinced by these deceptive doctrines of Satan and have become disciples of Swami Vinishunavada, whatever his name is, and other Swamis from India, as well as their counterparts in the West. The enemy, Satan, has successfully influenced the introduction of yoga in all its many forms, including Kundalini yoga, into schools, institutions, and even into Christian churches, which compromise by calling it Christian yoga. So, see, the Kundalini can come in by joining exercise classes, or even sometimes go, like going to be hypnotized. This is another way that demons can also enter in. Luke 10:19, Jesus gives us authority over serpent spirits. He says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So, Satan has commissioned serpent, kundalini, and scorpion spirits to beguile, torment, capture souls through yoga and other forms of occultism, such as witchcraft and devil worship. And those are the occult will invite all of those in, because it's just all wickedness. Indians have a lot, you know, like every culture has them. Every culture has their area of Antichrist activities that can invite these demons into you. Okay. So I think that it is just about covered all of the areas of incubus and succubus. And the spirit of the bride of Satan. Does anybody have any questions before we start to pray? Yes? Any way that Lamaze factors into that? Well, I think that any time we are depending on anything or anyone other than Jesus for our relief, our healing, our mental wellness, our physical well-being, I think any time we look to any other, I think it opens the door. I did Lamaze, by the way, when I had my babies. And I understand that. What I understand, because when I read the book, it was really discovered by a veterinarian. I thought it was a French veterinarian who studied the way the animals acted when they gave birth, and he started using it on humans and found that those, you know, the way they breathe, the way the dogs would, you know, and so he started incorporating that with women, and I can understand how it works. I mean, you can sit down and, you know, that's really what a big sigh is. You know, we take it. It's just is like a release. There are relaxation techniques that I don't think necessarily have to be demonic. I think if you go and smoke dope, or, you know, somebody hypnotizes you or gives you some kind of a pill or anything like that, now I think those are open doors. But as far as if you can just breathe in and out slowly and it relaxes those muscles in order for the baby to come out without any resistance, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that. But, you know, let God be your guide on that. Talk to God about it and let Him, He'll speak to you about that. I mean, I'll tell you what, when you're in labor, did you have a section? Okay. Because you'll notice that even your body, without knowing anything, sometimes has reactions to pain or, you know, things that just happen sometimes. And nobody has, you know, guided you to do that. You know, if somebody smacks you with a hammer, nobody had to teach you to go, ouch! You know, so I don't know. Just talk to God about that. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I said that I was going to. There's not a lot. Okay, let me just read one that he says. Okay, it says, "Satan is the great deceiver and imitator. He fell because he wanted to take God's place of honor and authority in the universe. and that's Isaiah 14:12-15, that says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut to the ground, you who weaken to the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High God, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest parts of the pit." Lucifer seduced one-third of the angels into following him, exalting himself as God. That's Revelation 12:3-4. Even the Bible gives him the dubious title of the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Anything that Satan could possibly invent or counterfeit, however, would be inferior to what he has seen of the true God. Just as God and his kingdom, God has all his kingdom and angels in divine order, Satan duplicates God's kingdom. God has his archangels, example Michael, messenger angels, example Gabriel, guardian angels, as mentioned in Matthew 18:10, and angels with which are ministering spirits, Hebrews 1:13-14. Satan also has his own army under his control, as we are told in Ephesians 6:12. That's not the one. You know, I didn't mark it. Okay, right here. And you might want to pick up these books to give you a better understanding. But he says, people ask, how is it possible for spirits to have sex with humans? The scripture tells us that it has happened before. In Genesis 6:1-2, the scriptures tell us, "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." Okay, there are cases like in the Bible where it says that they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge, and so God gave them over to a reprobate mind, doing things that are unseemly. Men, you know, with men, and women with women. And there's not a lot of scriptural evidence of the, you know, you won't find incubus and succubus in the scripture. But people who have worked in deliverance, for like, this man was in it for like over 45 years, and he learned a lot of things through experience. And so I don't know where the words incubus and succubus came from, but the words have been around for a very long time. They're in the dictionary. And so you will have instances where it says, like, there are cases, sometimes it'll mention like things that are done that are too wicked to even think about. You know, it's not, they didn't really come out and say these things, but they're very real. They're very real. And that's why I started with those scriptures about generationally inherited things, because there are a lot of things. It doesn't ever really talk about alcoholism either in the Bible, but we know by experience that alcohol is addictive, drugs are addictive, and these addictions, even though it may not be the same addiction, there may be an addiction in the family line, and one person turns to cocaine and the other one turns to Hershey bars. You know, it's it just depends on, or they may be addicted to shopping or addicted to gambling, or, you know, it's the addiction is the inherited thing, but the way it plays out or where it manifests may be different. See, I had the same, I don't really like to talk about things that are really not explicitly shown in the scripture, but the fact that those things can be generationally inherited and passed down, that's where these are, in generationally inherited. Like incest is something that is inherited, it's passed down, and of course nobody talks about it, so it's allowed to go on generation after generation and causes all kinds of problems in families. And but the good news is we don't have to, you know, that doesn't have to be the end, because Jesus is the deliverer. And so that's why I want to bring this up. So if anybody here is plagued with these things, we want to help you be free of that. Did you? Many unclean spirits. Yeah. Yeah. Unclean spirits. Yes, by the Prince of Persia. Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. And it says in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, that we battle, our battles are not with flesh and blood, but with principalities. They're all from the kingdom of darkness. Everything that is not holy is dark. And there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And that's where Satan likes to keep his things under a cloak of darkness, where you keep it secret so that he can isolate you, so he can destroy you. The other thing about that woman whose dead husband was coming to see her, see, she was talking to the dead, which is necromancy, and we are forbidden to do that in Deuteronomy chapter 18, around verse 9. We are not to go to a fortune teller, a palm reader, any of those kind of things, horoscope, Ouija boards, anything that you would go to for information, tea reading, a person with a crystal ball, any of those things. If we dabble in that, it can become a legal issue with Satan. It's like, got you now. You open the door now. Even though we were doing it just in a game, seances and all those kind of things that kids like to do and get involved with. And goodness, with Harry Potter, that has opened up so many children for witchcraft and the kingdom of darkness. It has taught them how to even communicate. But the woman who, see, if you've lost someone, and this is, I've seen this happen, a person loses a mate, and then they pine for this mate, and then we don't know if you know, a familiar spirit's been coming to them or not, but the ultimate goal is to kill the other person too. So it's like, in this book, this woman who was having this visitation, what made her go to her pastor or to one of these meetings and divulge this was the fact that this voice was now, this lover was now saying, why don't you come join me? All you would have to do is take your whole bottle of pain medicine and you could come. You would have real peace. And then it, you know, then they start thinking about committing suicide. It's all from the kingdom of darkness. And his goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't care how he does it. Whether he comes to you with good things or bad things, as long as they get you. So, but he has, you know, really, we have power over him. That's the good news. That's why I'm talking about this. We have power over these demons. So if anybody wants prayer, I just ask you to come up and we will pray for you and break this. I like to say, stop the insanity. Let's stop the insanity. It's time to stop the insanity. If you're having any of these problems. Yes. Yes. Lust. Right. That's true. Uh-huh. But it's a familiar spirit in your dream. Yeah. That's right. Yes. Yeah, lustful. Any lustful dream. Any lustful dreams. That's right. But see, Satan would use a good thing, like your husband. It's okay to dream about your husband. It's okay to lust after your husband. That's right. Yeah. And then so you have these dreams, and in the dream, it's really a demon coming to you and having sex with you. And you think it's okay because it's your husband, but it's not. It's him trying to slide in there and take you over, even to the point that it's better, the dream, wow, it's even better in the dream than it is in person. Because that's his goal, is to destroy the marriage. That's what he likes to do. He likes to possess you. He's very possessive. Let me put it that way. We can't be possessed if we have the Spirit of God in us. We cannot be possessed. But he likes to possess you, keep you all to himself. So if anybody would like prayer. Well, okay, first, let's do this. Let's do what Uncle Frank used to do. I'm just going to use his prayers, okay? First of all, we're going to cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus by repeating our prayer of salvation. Is everybody here saved and know that they're saved? okay, well, we're doing this for Satan's benefit so that he hears our voice and knows that we mean business. Okay? So let's just pray. Father, I confess that I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Lord Jesus, I confess that you are the Son of the living God, and that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose again from the dead on the third day. Thank you for forgiving me, for justifying me, and cleansing me in your precious blood. Please come into my heart and take full control of me. I find it hard to follow you, Jesus, but I want to. Please help me in following you from now on. I ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, if there's been anybody in your life that touched you in an unholy manner, that violated you in any way, even in a dream, even in your fantasies, Lord, I confess that I have not properly loved, but I have resented certain people and have unforgiveness in my heart, and I repent of this, and I ask you to forgive me. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them completely. I now forgive. Now name anybody that you have unforgiveness against, whether living or dead, even the Lord. You know, sometimes we can hold resentment toward the Lord because of things that have happened to us. They didn't have anything to do with him. But we ask why? And that's almost like blaming him. And so even if you've had anger or even felt betrayed by God, you need to let him know, even though he wasn't responsible, but you need to hear yourself say, I forgive you, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive them also. And I now forgive myself and accept myself with all my shortcomings in the name of Jesus. Okay, so, Lord, I take authority right now over all kindred spirits of unforgiveness, resentment, hate, bitterness, root of bitterness, and revenge. Take a deep breath and blow out. Come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of unforgiveness, resentment, all spirits of hatred, all spirits of murder, the root of bitterness, all spirits of revenge, go in Jesus' name. Go. Just take a deep breath and blow out. I bind the spirit of the bride of Satan right now in the name of Jesus. I bind it. I break its power off of your life, and I command you to go. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. And Satan, we break your power now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All Kundalini spirits that came in through yoga or New Age stuff, crystals, anything that has allowed a spirit of idolatry to come in, a false Jesus. We come against all tormenting and destructive spirits, all spirits of torment, nightmares. I come against all spirits of fornication in Jesus' name. All spirits of lust, go in Jesus' name. I bind you and break your power. All lust spirits, go. Come out of the mouth, come out of the eyes. Come out of the hands in Jesus' name. Come out of the female organs in the name of Jesus. All lust spirits, come out of the imagination. All fantasy spirits, I bind you and break your power. All wishing, and longing for things, things that you lust after. All spirits of lust, go in Jesus' name. Come out of the eyes. All lust spirits in the eyes, go in Jesus' name. All lust spirits, every spirit under the control of Apollyon, I bind you right now. I break your power in Jesus' name. You go in the name of Jesus. I come against all masturbation spirits. All spirits of masturbation, go in the name of Jesus. Come out of the hands. Come out of the hands right now. Come out of the legs. Come out of the feet in Jesus' name. All spirits of masturbation, all unclean spirits, all spirits of perversion, all lying spirits, I command you to shut up. I deafen their ears to the lying spirit. I come against all spirits of shame. All spirits of shame, you go in Jesus' name. I break your power and command you to go. All shame spirits. All spirits of feeling dirty. All embarrassment spirits. All spirits of embarrassment, go. In the name of Jesus, you go. And Satan, I bind you and rebuke you and render you powerless over the lives, the sex lives, the dream lives, the thought lives of all of us and everyone who hears this teaching. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and rebuke you in Jesus' name. Now, let's invite the Holy Spirit to come in. Well, Lord, I ask right now that you would allow your resurrected blood to flow over our bodies and in our bodies and cleanse our bodies, Lord. Cleanse our minds. Restore in us a right spirit, a clean heart and a right spirit within us, Lord. Purify our thought lives. Purify our dream lives. And you know what? If you have dreams and tormenting dreams and nightmares or anything like that, I want you to know that you can begin to take dominion. You have power over your body. And you can take dominion. When you lay down to sleep at night, you can say, I take dominion right now over my dreams, over my thoughts in the name of Jesus. And I forbid any unclean thing to come into my thoughts and my dreams in Jesus' name. I stand the mighty angels around me while I sleep, Lord. Send warring angels to do warfare over me while I sleep. That no tormenting demons come near you. I come against the spirits of insanity right now that came down through the family line through incest or molestation or rape. I bind the spirit of insanity in Jesus' name. And I activate and release the mind of Christ in every one of us. The mind of Christ, that we will have His thoughts, that we will have His intents in our hearts, Lord. We give you thanks. Now, Holy Spirit, let's pray this. Holy Spirit, please come into me with all that you are and take the place of all these evil spirits that have been commanded out. Fill me with your healing love. I just speak healing right now to the bodies, the minds, the wills, the emotions in Jesus' name. I speak healing in Jesus' name. Lord, fill me with your love, your peace that passes all understanding, and the joy of the Lord. Let me be able to have a forgiving nature and show me what I must do to restore any broken relationships with those that I have resented. You know, there may be some anger toward people if people have hurt you. If they've said things to you, if they've hurt your bodies in any way, maybe they didn't protect you. They knew about it, but they didn't do anything. There may be people that you have resentment against that you need to forgive. And really and truly, if there's somebody that has done things to you that were vile, just know that you both were victims, actually. They were the victim of the demon, and you were its victim. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would release a spirit of compassion and understanding. Lord, we thank you for this information. We thank you that it is going to give us a greater degree of freedom. And Father, we thank you that if we run into people that have any problems like this, that we can shed some light on their problem. And if you feel comfortable that, Lord, that they will release the kingdom of God that is in them to help others, and if not, that they can send them to someone who can. I just thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy. We thank you that you can take care of those secret places in our lives, that you can deal with the shame and the embarrassment that we have lived with for things that we know were not pleasing to you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy and your grace until the time that we could come into this understanding and have it be dealt with. Lord, you're so good. We just thank you for being so good, so patient, Lord, and so willing to set us free. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.